Well, good afternoon. Welcome back to Wednesday at First. And can I get this door prize? To a study that we've called Snakes and Ladders, which made perfect sense to me, except then I learned that you don't know what snakes and ladders means. You have a game called Chutes and Ladders. Where the chute in the British version is actually a snake. So it made perfect sense to me, but I've refused to change the title now, Snakes and Ladders. And we're looking, as Pastor Matthias has just said, we're looking at occasions in the Bible where animals are mentioned, and yes, it's on, but I'm getting signals from David Lawton. Am I on? It's just not loud enough. Can everybody hear me? I'm not repeating all that again. It wasn't that important anyway. So let's turn. We're looking at, we're looking at the ass. I know it's an ass. It's not a donkey. And I'm going to get into trouble. Because someone is talking out of this donkey. Well, you're slow. Come on. You can't hear. David Lawton, you need to turn it up. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Okay. Let's see if we can hear. The reading, this is a section, we're going to talk about the ass or the donkey, the mule, in a series of chapters 22, 23, 24 of the book of Numbers, way too many chapters to read here, so I'm going to have to tell you a little bit of the story and the background, and we'll focus on this particular narrative that's before us in the bulletin, Numbers 22:22. But God's anger was kindled because he went, he being Balaam, and the angel of the Lord took a stand in the way as his adversary. Now, as he was riding on the donkey and his two servants were with him, and the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with a drawn sword in his hand. And the donkey turned aside out of the road and went into the field. And Balaam struck the donkey to turn her into the road. Then the angel of the Lord stood in a narrow path between the vineyards with a wall on either side. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she pushed against the wall and pressed Balaam's foot against the wall, so he struck her again. Then the angel of the Lord went ahead and stood in a narrow place where there was no way to turn either to the right or to the left. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she lay down under Balaam, and Balaam's anger was kindled, and he struck the donkey with his staff. Then the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey, and she said to Balaam, "What have I done to you that you have struck me these three times?" And Balaam said to the donkey, "Because you have made a fool of me." Well, he's talking to a donkey, of course. "Because you have made a fool of me, I wish I had a sword in my hand, and then I would kill you." And the donkey said to Balaam, "Am I not your donkey, on which you have ridden all your life long to this day? Is it my habit to treat you this way?" And he said, "No." Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand. And he bowed down and fell on his face. And the angel of the Lord said to him, "Why have you struck your donkey these three times? Behold, I have come out to oppose you because your way is perverse before me. The donkey saw me and turned aside before me these three times. If she had not turned aside from me, surely just now I would have killed you and let her live. Then Balaam said to the angel of the Lord, I have sinned, for I did not know that you stood in the road against me. Now therefore, if it is evil in your sight, I will turn back. And the angel of the Lord said to Balaam, go with your men, but speak only the word that I tell you. So Balaam went on with the princes of Balak. Well, let me remind you a little of the story. This is a narrative that covers three chapters in the book of Numbers, 22, 23, 24. And Balaam is a man with supernatural, occult powers. He can, according to him, he can foresee the future and prophesy and pronounce curses and blessings. There was a belief in this period in the ancient Near East that those whom you blessed would be blessed, and those whom you cursed would be cursed. Now, whether that's true or not is beside the point for now. Certainly Balak, the king of Moab, believed that. And Balaam is a curse dropper for hire. So you can hire him, and he will pronounce a curse, and your enemies will perish. Fairly useful, you might think. So the Balaam story is a contest as to whose word will prevail, God's word or Balaam's word. Now, this is very important. Pay attention. Israel knew nothing about this at this time. They would learn about the Balaam story later. But at this point, they are completely oblivious to any of this. Later, Balaam will get captured in the Midianite Wars. There's a lot of history here, so you've got to pay attention. Right? Balaam will get captured in the Midianite Wars, and all this story will come out. Hence, Moses now can write it and put it in the book of Numbers. But at the time, Israel didn't know anything about it. And that's important because the lesson, the takeaway today will be that God is sometimes doing something in the background that you know nothing about. Helping you, protecting you. Later you may discover what it is the Lord has been doing. But at the time, you didn't know anything at all about it. That's the takeaway. Okay, if you get lost in the story, in the narrative, that's what I want you to take home. Now, we have to get into some of the background. I have to tell something of the history here, so bear with me. We're going deep. You've had meatloaf, so you've got plenty of protein. Israel has won some fairly significant, substantial battles against two kings by the names of Sihon and Og. And Balak, who is the king of Moab, is next in line. And as you might suspect, is a little terrified of the prospects of going into a conventional war against the Israelites, given the fact that they have wiped out some of the neighboring territories to Moab. So what does the king of Moab, whose name is Balak, what does the king of Moab do? Well, he goes to Balaam because he's a curse dropper for hire. And what Balak needs is, well, he needs a weapon of mass destruction. And Balaam is your man. Because Balaam can call upon the gods, in this case, the God of Israel, but as far as Balak was concerned, he believed in a multiplicity of gods, and if he wanted to call upon Yahweh, the God of Israel, that was fine, so long as a curse came down upon the Israelites. And Balaam was up for hire. The little yellow light on the top of his donkey was shining, and it said, "For hire." Now, there's an initial encounter with the Lord. Some elders from Moab come to Balaam. They seek him out. They come with, they come with a purse. They come with some remuneration. They come with some money in hand to ask him to curse the Israelites. And he responds by saying, "Stay here with me tonight, and in the course of the night, I will discuss this matter with the Lord." Now, you're thinking, is Balaam a good guy or a bad guy? And let me cut through all of the nuances here and make sure that you understand that Balaam is not a good guy. Right? He's a charlatan. Now, the fact that God uses him to pronounce a wonderful prophecy is beside the point. That's all to do with the sovereignty of God. But Balaam is a charlatan. But at this point, he's consulting with the Lord. He's asked the men of Moab to wait with him in the course of the night. And Balaam tells the Lord what these men have asked him to do. And God's answer to Balaam is, "No, you may not curse the Israelites, because they are blessed." So in the morning, he tells the men of Moab to go home. He actually tells an edited version of what God said to him. But in the morning, he says to the men of Moab to go home because God says no. Now, he doesn't tell them what God had actually said, that God had absolute full intention of blessing the Israelites. He didn't say that. You know, it's a bit like the boy who says, "I can't come out and play because my father is refusing me, but I really would like to come out and play, but my father is saying no." And that's what Balaam is saying here, in effect. Now, by the time the Moabites go back to their boss, Balak, the king of Moab, it's a bit like whispers. The story has changed again. It's not now that God said no, that the Lord, that Yahweh said no. It's that Balaam said no, he's not coming. And Balak is, he's upset, as you might suspect. But Balak understands how charlatans, spiritual charlatans, work. This is all part of Balaam's strategy to up the ante so that Balak would offer him more. This is just part of the negotiating process. So when Balak hears that Balaam has said no, what Balak hears is Balaam says, "Offer me more, and I might." So, a second round. No amount of money will entice me to do this thing, Balaam seems to have said. It seems that that is what the Lord had said to Balaam. But, you know, emails from the Almighty can get lost in the shuffle. Are you with me? Are you tracking? And if only Balak would offer just a little bit more enticement, maybe Balaam could find his way to cursing the Israelites. So the Lord, so another round occurs, the Lord speaks to Balaam, and again, the answer is no. And Balaam makes his way. He's making his way. He's going with the men back to Balak. And God is angry with him. And Balaam thinks he's a free agent, of course. He needs to learn the lesson that man proposes, but God disposes. And what happens is, on the way back with the men of Moab, his donkey, his ass, she sees a soldier with a drawn sword. Right? Balaam doesn't see him, but the donkey sees him. And first of all, in the first encounter, when the donkey sees the soldier with a drawn sword, the donkey veers off in a certain direction, and Balaam hits the donkey. Now, listen, folks. I love animals. I hate animal cruelty. I get very upset when I see people mistreating animals. But that's not the point of this story. Don't get sidetracked here. The lesson of this story is that you shouldn't beat animals. You shouldn't beat animals. Right, let's get past that, but that's not the point of this story. There's a far more important point here. So the donkey veers off. She gets beaten. The second time, the way is narrow. There's a sort of narrow passageway, and as the donkey is trying to squeeze through this narrow passageway, Balaam's foot on the side of the donkey gets crushed in the wall, and he's upset, he loses his temper, and he beats the donkey. And yes, you shouldn't beat donkeys, but that's not the point of the story. And then the third time, there's no way past. There's no way left or right, and the donkey just falls down flat with Balaam on top of her, and Balaam loses his cool once again, and he beats this donkey, and then she speaks like Shrek. You've all seen Shrek. You've watched it with your grandchildren. Who has not seen Shrek? Okay. You need to get a life, people. Shrek, this is a talking donkey. It speaks. And she asks him, you know, what have I done to you that you've struck me these three times? And Balaam responds, seemingly completely oblivious to the fact that the donkey is talking. Well, some of you talk to your little pooch. Isn't that right? You do? I get out of bed probably three or four times every night, and Luther is lying beside the bed. There's one on the bed, but that's another story. But there's one on the floor, and he sometimes wants to be reassured that he's number one because there's another one lying on the bed. And I get down and I talk to him and I say to him, "You're number one." And the little tail will go like this, and I'll reassure him. I've asked him questions. I've asked him many a time, "Are you a superlapsarian?" Which Dr. Ross at least will know what that means. And his tail is gone. So he's a high Calvinist. And I pretend, I imagine I'm having a conversation with this dog, but I understand. I haven't completely lost it. I understand this is a one-way conversation, and the rest I'm sort of making up. But here, she spoke. Just as the snake spoke in the garden. Now, I can't give you an apologetic for this. You know, in a scientific age in 2016, can animals speak? You either believe this or you don't. You either believe in the supernatural or you don't. And if you don't believe in the supernatural, you've got bigger problems than talking donkeys. You know, if you believe in a sovereign God who created the heavens and the earth, a donkey that can talk is nothing. It really is nothing. So, out of this encounter with the ass, the donkey, Balaam learns a valuable lesson from God. I'm not sure the extent to which Balaam believed in God. I'm not persuaded that Balaam was even a believer. I believe he was a charlatan. But God says to him in very clear terms, you may go, and you will go to Balak, the king of Moab, and you will speak what I tell you to speak. And even though Balaam will be told on four occasions to curse the Israelites, what comes out of his mouth will be a blessing. Now, and there follows in the narrative, and you can go home and read it this afternoon, there follows in the narrative four prophecies, four pronouncements of blessing that Balaam utters in the presence of Balak, the king of Moab. Now, what's the lesson here? And in one sense, although the history is complicated and you need to sort of get into the history and the context, the lesson is actually very simple. That if the Lord is determined to bless, there is absolutely nothing. There is absolutely nothing that anyone can do to turn that into a curse. That's a beautiful thing. If the Lord is determined to bless you, there is absolutely nothing that anyone can do to turn that into a curse. So, here's the question that we have to ask from this story. How can I be sure that God wants to bless me? And the answer to that question is Jesus. Jesus. Because if you believe in Jesus, if you trust in the Lord Jesus, if Jesus is your Lord and Savior, it means He has taken the curse. He was made a curse for us. Cursed is everyone who hangs upon a tree. He got the curse that we might get the blessing. You see, Balak, let's get back to Balak for a minute, the king of Moab, the man who hired Balaam to pronounce the curse, that guy, Balak. Balak wanted a means to control the future. That's tricky. It's actually tricky to predict the future. You know, Ken Olson, the president of Digital Equipment Corporation, said in 1977 he saw no reason why anyone would want a computer in their home. Oh. In 1962, Decca turned down a contract with the Beatles because they didn't like their sound and guitar music was, quote, on the way out. Predicting the future can be tricky. Try predicting the outcome of this election. Controlling the future is even trickier. And that's what Balak wanted. He wanted a means to control the future. Right? So every time Balak hired Balaam to curse Israel, his words kept on turning into a blessing. And then in chapter 24, the final oracle that Balaam pronounces. And it's a beautiful oracle. And it's a passage that sometimes we preach on at Christmas time. You're probably scratching your head now. Who's ever heard the story of Balaam and his ass at Christmas time? Balaam and his donkey at Christmas time. Well, in the fourth oracle, Balaam pronounces a statement that a star would come out of Jacob and a scepter would arise out of Israel and a great king would come who would crush all his enemies. Well, if that isn't a Christmas story, what isn't? A Christmas story with another donkey carrying Mary to Bethlehem, where she would give birth to an infant born, conceived by the Holy Spirit, none other than the Lord Jesus, who is the star that would come out of Jacob and announced by a star in the sky some months, possibly a couple of years later, when the wise men would come to look for the baby Jesus. And a scepter out of Israel, a king would be born who would crush his enemies. A donkey, a mule, an ass, was instrumental in ensuring that Balaam, this curse dropper for hire, would actually pronounce a prophecy about the coming of the Lord Jesus. Amazing. You can't make up this stuff. Amazing. So what's the takeaway? Three simple lessons. Number one, God is for his people. Actually, his people don't even know anything about this. Israel didn't even know anything about the story of Balaam until long afterwards. So while Israel are getting on with their lives, God is working on behalf of his people, ensuring that the king of Moab, Balak, does not pronounce a curse on the Israelites. In this convoluted story involving a talking donkey, a Shrek, God is saying to you and to me today, I'm for you. You understand that? If God be for us, who can be against us? Do you know that you have enemies today? Yes, we all have enemies. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. And they're plotting and scheming and conniving to bring you down. And if you trust in the Lord Jesus, this is your hope. This is your confidence. If God be for us, who can be against us? Who can lay any charge against God's elect? That's lesson number one. God is for his people. That's a beautiful, beautiful lesson. He's for me. Lesson number two, and we've already alluded to it, but let me spell it out now in capital letters. Even when we don't see it, God is working for our good. Even when we don't see it, God is working for our good. He works all things together for the good of those who love him. Romans 8:28. You say, I don't see it. I don't see it. I don't see what God is doing. I had a call yesterday from someone in Montreal in Canada. And we talked for 20 minutes or so. They have a 2-year-old son who has leukemia. And he was at his wit's end. I don't know this man from Adam. He had an unpronounceable French name. I had to write it down and asked him to send me a picture of his family and his 2-year-old who promised to pray for him. And this is what we talked about.
He's a believer. He loves the Lord Jesus. He knew me from something that I'd done on Ligonier or something, and he managed to get hold of my phone number, and he called me, and he just wanted to talk. But that was his question. I can't see what God is doing here. And I said to him, I'm not a prophet. I said, I can't tell you in detail what God is doing in your life. I said, but I know this. I can say this. If you love the Lord Jesus, even this is working for your good. I know that sounds hard. I know that sounds hard to say. But even this is working for your good. And actually, I could sense it. His marriage seemed to have been wonderfully, wonderfully enriched. His relationship with his wife seemed to have been wonderfully, wonderfully enriched as a consequence. They'd been drawn together in the helplessness of their situation. Even when you don't see it, God is working for our good. So is that where you are today? You've come this afternoon and you have a trial and difficulty and you just don't see what God is doing in your life. But if you trust Jesus, God is at work for your good. And the third, a lesson. And it's a simple little lesson. It's a lesson to take home. That the ultimate blessing is Jesus. Yes, that's the lesson of this story of Shrek, the talking donkey. The ultimate blessing is Jesus. The star of Jacob, the scepter of Israel, the king who would come, who would crush his enemies. What a savior. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ hath regarded my helpless estate and hath shed his own blood for my soul. That's it. So those are the three lessons to take home today. Our time is gone. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Thank you for this strange, unusual story from the book of Numbers. We thank you that it leads directly to Bethlehem and to our blessed Savior and to a lesson that is all-encompassing, that in the gospel you are for us and no one and nothing can be against us. And bless us now, we pray. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.